stand by while NCLA cuts through the noise to signal abuse of administrative power. This is Administrative Static with Mark Chenoweth and John Vecchione.
Welcome to Administrative Static. Mark Chenoweth and Janine Yunus sitting in for John. Well, you'd be here even if John were here.
That's
but,
true.
but Janine Yunus is with me. John Vecchione is on vacation somewhere in the heartland of America. So we wish him a safe return. And with us to talk about a very important case that NCLA has been working on for a long time is Senior Litigation Counsel Peggy Little. Peggy, you have finally gotten to file a challenge against the gag rule in a federal U.S. Court of Appeals in a case where they'll probably reach the merits. tell us more about this. This is a very exciting development.
Yes, this is a different posture from the earlier challenges which we had brought on behalf of individuals who sought to be relieved of the gag provision in their own case.
And just to remind our audience, we're talking about the Securities and Exchange Commission gag rule, which anyone who settles with the SEC is going to be basically silenced for life and not able to say something that challenges any of the allegations in the original complaint against them. Is that the gist of it?
Yes, and that's a non-negotiable condition of settling with the SEC. And it's worth pointing out to our listeners that with the exception of one other agency, the SEC stands alone in asserting this power over people's right to settle their cases with the government. It just does not appear anywhere else.
Right. So the Department of Justice, for example, never has this sort of provision in its settlements, and yet this is routine at the SEC.
One might say even the SEC has the delusion that it has this power.
Well, the delusion's been going on for 50 years now. So
that's the problem.
Yeah. So tell us about the posture and what you're saying in the briefing that has been filed in the Ninth Circuit. And this case is Thomas Powell v. United States Securities and Exchange Commission for anyone looking to follow the case going forward.
Sure. This is an appeal from the SEC's denial of our petition for review to amend the SEC's gag rule, which we filed in 2018. Yes, well over 5 years ago. And what we were waiting for a decision on that, and it was very clear that the SEC was going to just basically functionally deny it by not ruling on it at all. We renewed that petition last December. They did issue an order denying our petition to take the gag out of the rule. There was a very strong dissent from SEC Commissioner Hester Peirce that said pretty much everything we would want her to say about.
Right. If that had been the majority decision, we would have been very happy with that.
It would just could enter. Summary judgment could enter.
That's right.
So we were very happy to see that. And that then gives us a right to take the commission's denial to a federal circuit court. And we chose the Ninth Circuit because it has two very powerful decisions, precedents, which it is obliged to follow, and those hold that the government cannot ask a person to agree to an unconstitutional condition as a condition of their settlement.
So you have several clients in this case. It's not just Mr. Powell. Do you want to talk about who all NCLA is representing in this case?
Sure. We have some wonderful clients because we have been approached by many people over the years who are bound by this gag, who are very insistent that they need to get out from under the constrictions of the gag on their speech. Some of them are former clients or current clients, Barry Romerl, Christopher Novinger, and Ray Lucia are all former clients, and they are desperate to be, they want to speak about their cases. Others have come to us over the years. They all have different stories to tell, very compelling stories to tell. And then one of the plaintiffs has not yet settled, but will not agree to a gag. So he's in a posture where he has waived nothing.
And that's Joseph Collins, I believe.
That's correct. And then we also have two important additional plaintiffs, Reason Foundation and the Delaware Cape Gazette. Both are press outlets that have been reporting on the gag generally in the case of Reason Foundation. And then the Delaware Cape Gazette wants to report on Cassandra Torian's settlement.
And she's also a client.
She is a client. She had spoken with the Cape Gazette before she was under a gag. But when she settled, they contacted her to get her side of the story. And all she could tell them is, I'm forced to say nothing about my case because I'm under an SEC-enforced gag.
Tell me about Michelle Silverstein, Rex Skates, and Gary Pryor. I think those are the three we haven't talked about. Well, we haven't really talked about Thomas Powell either,
right?
The lead plaintiff.
Right. Well, Thomas Powell settled for a very small amount in SEC terms, but he was put through many, many years of SEC investigation for supposed violations they could not even articulate, and he settled an administrative proceeding for a very small amount of money just because his family did not want to continue enduring this process. And so he wants to talk about that, which one would think he has every right to do, but he does not. And he tried to negotiate the gag out of his settlement. So did Ray Lucia. So did Cassandra Torian. So these are people who are aware. I think many people weren't aware there was such a gag for many years, indeed 50 years. And people are wising up, and they're saying, no, I will not agree with this. No, I will contest this. You had mentioned some other...
Michelle Silverstein, Rex Skates.
Yeah, they have a very interesting case. It's a patent case, and the SEC charged them before the patent's validity was even determined in federal court. And the according to them, the judge in the patent case is just astonished that the SEC action was even brought against them. Again, they settled because they don't have the resources to continue to fight the SEC.
Yeah, and the SEC was saying something about the patent. They were misrepresenting the status of the patent somehow, which hadn't been determined yet.
Exactly.
So it just seemed like the SEC is way out of its lane on this one.
And they have been contacted by various news outlets that want them to talk about their case. It's a very interesting case. It's a case where the SEC may well have had no business meddling into this patent dispute.
And there was an attempted murder, if I'm not mistaken, case.
That's what we hear. And yeah, so there's going to be a lot of media interest in this case.
Who was almost murdered?
See, there's already interest.
No one can say.
Oh, that's really? Right. That's for the clients to know and the rest of the world not to find out.
Right. And it's just, it's crazy that they are under a gag. And they are concerned about, I guess one of the Los Angeles newspapers is writing a story and they feel like they cannot contribute to that.
It's hard to keep a murder under wraps.
Well, that's that.
Or attempted murder.
And speaking of which, that was one of the concerns of Chris Rausch, who is the editor of the Delaware Cape Gazette. He, at the luncheon law that we held, was talking about the fact that under FOIA laws, a lot of public government officials won't even give you the cause of death anymore. So what these kinds of gags and rules, or in that case, the abuse of the FOIA laws, does is allow all kinds of misconduct and maybe even crimes to fester in the dark.
Absolutely. So we have about 3 minutes left here. Tell me what the most important arguments are that you're making as to why the gag rule violates the First Amendment.
Okay. Well, there it is. It violates almost every First Amendment doctrine you can imagine, but it's a prior restraint. It's content-based and viewpoint-based. It unlawfully prohibits truthful speech that's in perpetuity. There's no limit to that. It unconstitutionally compels speech, and it's an unconstitutional condition that is forbidden by controlling Supreme Court precedent. There's also due process concerns because the rule says if you even speak as to create the impression that there was no case against you, or you cause someone else to say that, you have violated the gag.
How does someone even know whether they're violating that standard? That seems pretty...
Precisely what Commissioner Peirce pointed out. I mean, these are vague. The overreach in terms of controlling speech is really astonishing. It interferes with the right to petition the government for reform. Cassandra Torian wants to go to Congress and say that, talk about her case and why it's a compelling case for why the SEC should not have this power, and that interferes with her right of petition. There's also an administrative power question. There's nothing under any of the securities laws that allows the SEC to gag anyone as a penalty. This is not something they could win at trial, even right, if they won.
Yeah, they came up with this on their own.
Exactly. And there's compelling law that says that in a settlement negotiation, you should not have something on the table that is not what you could win in litigation. And it suppresses truthful information about the markets. The SEC can bring cases that are weak or even unfounded in law, and then they use those prior settlements as the basis for bringing future prosecutions, something that Hester Peirce has been talking about for many years. And that expansion of power into either unfounded cases or cases that are not well-grounded in law is only encouraged when we don't know what these agencies are doing because of the gag. So it allows that regulation by enforcement is what it's called.
And when 98% of these cases settle, that's a whole lot of enforcement activity that's happening under the cover of darkness here.
I think you could say all of it.
Yeah, practically speaking.
An exaggeration.
It really is. You also talk about it being a prior restraint.
Yes. And that's the most forbidden, the most disfavored of all speech restrictions. And it's because when the government tells somebody you can't even open your mouth, okay, that goes beyond chilling speech. That freezes it. And immediacy is also a really important thing in this area of law. If something the government is doing is wrong, you should be able to immediately say so.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for bringing this to our attention, Peggy. We wish you well at the Ninth Circuit, Powell v. U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Jenny.